Verse 7. Romans chapter 14, verse 7. Also, if you would remember a date, if you want to write it down, I believe it's September the 10th and 11th. That's a Friday and a Saturday. Brother Chris Koch will be coming to preach for us again. And he blessed us tremendously last time he preached here. And we'll look forward to that. It'll be September the 10th and the 11th. That's a Friday and a Saturday. Amen. All right. Romans chapter 14, verse number 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. None of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. I want to preach tonight about the power of influence. The slightest breeze that ever blew, some slender grass has wavered. The smallest life I ever knew, some other life has flavored. We cannot live our lives alone, for other lives we touch are either strengthened by our own or weakened just as much. There's a power that comes with influence, and everybody has influence. Life is a series of actions and reactions, and that's what we call influence. So everybody has it. There are some that tonight would think you're not very influential, but you have influence. Everybody here has influence. As a matter of fact, the power of influence is very strong. Amen. Now, my wife knows that. My wife does not have authority over me, but she sure does have influence. She's not the head, but she sure is the neck that turns the head. And she knows that. My wife knows how to play me like a fiddle. Amen. And I like it that way. Amen. But she knows better than to try to boss me, because I don't boss very good. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? You don't boss very well? Amen. We don't boss good, but we're influenced. You see, if we were going to buy, well, whatever. Let's say we were going to buy a carpet. And we went in and looked at carpet, and my wife said, I want that red carpet, and that's what we're going to get, and I don't care what you say about it. Guess what? We won't get red carpet. I don't know what other color, but it won't be red. Amen. But if she goes in and she knows better, isn't that pretty? I sure do like that. I believe that's the prettiest carpet I ever saw. That would look so wonderful. You see, then that's we're going to get red carpet. That's the power of influence. You know how to do that. And ladies are just born with that. My daughter, she's real good at it. Amen. And she just walks by and says, boy, that's, I wish I had that. And usually she gets it. If I have anything to do with it, it's just the power of influence. But if you demand it, then probably won't get it. So power of influence is important. Influence is either good or bad. It can be conscious or unconscious. You know what preaching is? It's influence. We try not to manipulate. That's not good influence. We don't want to manipulate. We do want to influence people. Right? Amen. As a parent, you like to influence your children. And guess what? Your children influence you. You know what a temper tantrum is? It's an effort to influence you. You know what a whipping is? It's your influence to change the behavior of your child. That's all about influence. That's what it is. It's all influence. It's all of us play this game in life. Amen. So influence is a part of it. There's conscience influence that we know what we're doing, and other people may know what we're doing. You remember when the spies went into Israel and into Canaan, and they came back, and 10 spies brought up an evil report and said, oh, there's giants in the land, and we can't conquer that land. It's impossible, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. Amen. And there were two that stood up, Joshua and Caleb, and said, we are well able. Hallelujah. God promised us the land. We are well able. You see, there was influence going on. But unfortunately, the ten had more influence than the two. Amen. But they didn't influence God. Amen. 40 years later, when all the doubters were bleaching in the sun, amen, and their bones were decaying, God took the two and said, all right, we got a new crew now. Let's go possess the land. Same land, same giants, same problems, same difficulties, but they had faith. Hallelujah. They believed God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so there's influence in life, either conscious or unconscious. Amen. There was a young man that had not studied very well, and he took a test. And at the bottom of his test paper, he wrote, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It was an opportunity to influence the professor. But the professor wrote back, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Amen. But we try to influence. That's what life is. It's about influence. Amen. And so there's a conscious influence that everybody tries to make. We try to influence individuals. We try to influence one another, our children, our families. Politicians try to influence us, especially about voting time. They try to influence us, try to entice us, vote for them and put them in office. And so it's a big part of life. There's a lot of power in our influence. Amen. And so conscious influence is our actions. It's obvious, isn't it? By actions, we know that people are trying to influence us. But there's another kind of influence that is much more subtle, and that is the unconscious influence. That is simply the radiation of personality. Amen. And we are influenced by others, and we influence others. Some people, because of a very powerful persona, influence people more than others do. And so it's like, Peter was an influential person. He when he ran down to the tomb, John followed, and John went in the tomb too. I don't know that John had any inclination he was going to do that, but Peter did, so he did. Amen. And then later on, Peter said, I'm just going fishing. I'm so upset, I'm just going to go fishing. And you know what? Everybody else went fishing too. So he had a lot of influence. He influenced people just by his actions, and he wasn't trying to influence others, but just because of his very strong personality, he did. Let me just say tonight that those of you that have strong personalities, you need to be very careful, because whether you intend to or whether you don't, you will influence others. Amen. You will influence others. I know a good man. He's a preacher of the gospel today. God saved him, and saved him out of a very, very bad life. He was a drug addict. He had lots of problems, and God saved him out of all of that. And he had several friends, and after he had influence to follow him in that lifestyle, and he had a great burden for those people. And he knew that he had influenced them and set them on the wrong road. And so he began to pray, God, help me to find these men so that I can give them my testimony and try to get them on the right road. So he began to search for them and seek for them. And one by one, he found them and he gave them his testimony. And several of them were influenced and began to follow the Lord. There was one that he could not find, and he didn't know, and nobody else seemed to know where he was. And this brother was appointed as a missionary, and he was doing deputation. When you do deputation, It's like the Navy. You get to see the world. And so he was out doing deputation, and his motorhome broke down. And somebody stopped to help him, and guess who it was? It was the man that he'd been praying for and looking for all that time. Amen. And he found him, and he got to witness to him and talk to him about the Lord and try to influence him in the right direction. Amen. Praise God. That's how we do it, folks. Amen. Try to influence people for the good and go the right way and do the right thing. Amen. Influence is, well, it's like an odor. I read a story years ago about a man that opened a bottle, a very ornate, beautiful bottle, and he said, this essence, as I speak, he said, it will eventually fill this room. He said, you don't have to say anything, he said, but when you begin to smell this essence, he said, would you just quietly raise your hand so I'll know when it permeates the entire building. And he began to speak and talk about that essence and what it was made from and all of the details about it. And slowly from the front all the way to the back, people would raise their hands because they could smell the essence that was coming out of that little bottle. And when he got through, he said, has everybody in the place has smelled this essence? And then he said, what you really smell were my words. He said, this is nothing but water. It's the power of influence. It's the power of influence. Have you ever bought anything and when you left, you thought, why in the world did I buy that? You went in intending to buy one thing and you left with something else. That's the power of influence. Some people are more susceptible than others. Amen. Praise God. And so influence is it's a very strong part of our life. Amen. And so influence is like an odor, but you know some odors are scents and some odors are stenches. So a good influence is like an odor. It smells wonderful. I read a story about a missionary had gone to the country of Japan. And while he was there, he actually was allowed to have influence in the imperial family. And he went to the emperor's house. And he had dinner with them and had influence with the royal family. And then when he returned back to England on furlough, one day the imperial family was in Europe and they just happened to stop at his house. And so they came into his apartment and spent about an hour and a half just visiting with a missionary. And after a while they left, and lo and behold, a little while later, some more Japanese people just happened to show up at his house, and they came in and immediately they said the royal family's been here, haven't they? He said, how did you know that? He said, well, in our country, he said, there is a perfume that is made for the royal family and no one else is allowed to possess it. They're the only ones that have it. And they said, we can smell that presence here. Amen. You know what we want around here? We want the presence of Jesus so strong that it does. Whoever walks in this building can immediately detect Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Amen. I want that in my home, that Jesus is here. Amen. I want that in my automobile, that Jesus is here. That everywhere that I go, that essence, that perfume, that odor, that people can know that royalty has been here. That the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has been in this place. Amen. We want that kind of an essence, that kind of an influence. Amen. So that people will know when we've been in the presence of good. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number, or 2 Corinthians 3 and 2 says that we are an epistle known and read of men. Amen. An epistle is a letter. Amen. Your life is a letter. It's either a letter for good or a letter for bad. But everybody's life is a letter. His life is a message. Amen. The Bible said that we should allow our good works. Amen. That people can see our good works and glorify. Everybody say glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's the kind of influence we ought to have. The kind of influence we ought to have is to influence people to want to glorify God, to want to praise God, to want to serve God. That's the kind of influence the Bible said we should have. On the other hand, there are those that influenced people to blaspheme God. Amen. It's a sad thing when people have that kind of influence for evil that causes people to not follow the Lord. But good influence is a wonderful thing. Amen. If we had more Hannahs in our homes, we would have more Samuels in our ministry. Amen. If we had more Joshuas, amen, in leadership. The Bible said that Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Hallelujah. Amen. All the days of Joshua, they served the Lord. There was a priest by the name of Jehoiada, and the Bible said that Joash the king did right all the days of Jehoiada the king. As long as the king, or as long as the priest lived, he did right. He was influenced by the king, or by the priest, and by his good example. And all of his days, as long as he lived, he did well. It's important today that we have good influence. Amen. There was a woman that lived in New York. Her name was Mary Mallon. She lived there in the early 1900s. Mary Mallon was a cook, and she worked in the homes of some very wealthy families. And she worked for a number of them. But after a while, they noticed that everywhere that Mary worked, people got sick. And they found that Mary actually was a carrier of typhoid. Has anybody ever heard of Typhoid Mary? That was Mary Mallon. She was responsible for the deaths of more, the confirmed and documented deaths of more than 200 people just by her influence. Just because she cooked their food. Just because she was in their home. 200 people died as a direct contact with Typhoid Mary. Amen. God help us not to be Typhoid Marys. There are spiritual Typhoid Marys. There are some people that everywhere they go, people die spiritually. They influence people not for the good, but for the bad. We've got to be careful, folks, about our testimony. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the old attitude that, well, you know, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to do what I want to do. All right, Typhoid. Have at it. Amen. But I promise you're going to take some people to hell with you that would not have gone without your influence. So there are some like Typhoid Mary that influence others. There was a man in the Bible by the name of Jeroboam. Jeroboam was a man that God sent him prophet. And he said to Jeroboam, he said that he took a new garment and he tore it in 12 strips. And he gave Jeroboam 10 of them. And he said, 10 tribes of Israel are going to follow you and you're going to be their king. And he said, and if you will do good and follow God and walk in the steps of David, he said, I will bless you all the days of your life, and I will establish your house. God gave him a promise. Well, Solomon heard about it and tried to kill him. And he fled the country, went to Egypt. After Solomon died, he came back, and guess what? The prophecy came true. Jeroboam became the king of the 10 northern tribes. Have you noticed in the book of Kings, in the book of Chronicles, it refers to the king of Israel and to the Judah? The king of Israel was Jeroboam, the first king, over those 10 tribes. Those in the southern part, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, that comprised what we call Judah. So the kingdom was divided because of the very unwise move of Rehoboam, who was Solomon's son. And because of that, the kingdom split. Jeroboam became kingdom of the north, king of the north. And so he was over the 10 tribes, and it came time to worship. And he got nervous. He said, you know what? If these people go down to Jerusalem to worship God in Jerusalem and sacrifice at the temple like we've always done, he said, I'll lose them. I will lose my ability. I'll lose my influence. I'll lose my kingship. They'll go back under the leadership of Rehoboam, and I won't be king anymore. Forgetting that God had made him a promise. If God makes you a promise, you can stand on it. You can believe it. It will not fail. Don't allow human reasoning to cheat you out of your blessings and the promises of God. But that's what Jeroboam did. He got to reasoning in himself. And so he said, I'm going to make an altar in Dan, the northern part of the kingdom, and I'm going to make one in Bethel, the lower part of the kingdom, and I'm going to set up some new gods, and we're going to worship some new gods. So he made a calf. Does that sound familiar? And he put one in the north and one in the south, and he said, these are your gods that brought you out of Egypt. And the Bible says that Jeroboam caused the people to sin. And it says it more than 20 times, over and over. Jeroboam caused Israel to sin. And in the middle of that, when he was getting ready, it was a momentous day. For the, of all places, Bethel. You remember Bethel? Bethel is where Jacob saw the vision of angels going up and down a ladder and heard the voice of God, and God promised him that he would bring him back, and he would make him a great house and establish a great nation and a great kingdom in his name, and the very name Israel was his name. But it was at Bethel that he set up a strange altar, and he was getting ready to offer a sacrifice to a strange God. And the Lord sent a man of God on the scene. A prophet came, and he came prophesying, and he prophesied against Jeroboam, and he prophesied against Israel, and he prophesied against that altar. And he said, just to show you that what I'm saying is true, he said that God, 300 years before it happened, he said, God will send a man by the name of Josiah, and he will offer the bones of your priest upon this altar. And he said, and before I leave here, the ashes of this altar will fall on the ground. That means their sacrifice was polluted. And the king was very angry with the prophet, and he stretched out his hand to take hold of him, and his hand could not return to him. God froze in that position. And the king, of course, began to pray, please help me, man of God, restore my hand. He prayed, and God restored his hand. And guess what? That altar tilted, and the ashes spilled off on the ground, just like the prophet said. 300 years later, Josiah became king. He went back to the scene at Bethel, and he went around all around there, and he took the bones out of this old priest, and he offered, and he burned those bones on that altar, and then he tore that altar down and pounded it until it was nothing but dust. Amen. Let me tell you something. God doesn't always work in our time, but he'll work. I don't know why he delayed 300 years. Just because he can. You and I don't have that option. But God does. And you know who the man was that did all that? His name was Josiah. God gave that name to the prophet 300 years before it ever came to pass. Amen. But God wrought what he said he was going to do. The king said, come home with me. I'll reward you. Amen. He said, nope. No can do. He said, God told me I wasn't to drink anything. I wasn't to eat anything. And I wasn't even to go home the same way I came. That I'm supposed to just leave this place and get out of here. And so the prophet headed out. And he got as far as an oak tree and he stopped to rest. There was another prophet in the land. A prophet that had sold out. And I don't mean to God. A prophet that observed all of the pollution of the land but would never lift his voice. A prophet that knew exactly what was going on. Hear me, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. A prophet's always a prophet. He still gives because God gave it to him and God didn't take it back. Amen. A prophet is still sensitive, spiritual, and he knows what's going on. He knew what was happening in Israel, but he would not lift his voice. Because he'd sold out. But when his sons came home and they were all excited, they said, Papa, it's just like you told us. There was a man of God that came and he withstood the king and he withstood Israel today and he stood up on the altar tilted and the ashes fell to the ground just like he said and the king's hand withered because he tried to touch him. It's just like you said, there is a God. He still does miracles. There's still a revival. Amen. Hallelujah. And so the sons were all encouraged because of what God was doing. Amen. But the Bible says that that prophet, he got all excited. And he said, hurry. He said, saddle the donkey. I'm going after him. And he did. He went to, and he found the man of God sitting under an oak tree. And he invited him to his house. He said, man, I want you to come. We'll reminisce. We'll talk about revival. And the man said, can't do it. He said, God specifically told me not to eat anything, not to drink anything, and not even to go home the same way. But the prophet, the false prophet, said, oh, he said, I've seen a vision from the Lord. He said, an angel came and told me that it was okay for you to come to my house. And he went. And they ate and they drank and they began to reminisce about the great days and what God had done and what God was doing. And all of a sudden the spirit of prophecy came on that old false prophet. And the Lord said, didn't I tell you not to eat anything and not to drink anything and not to go, not to tarry, but to get directly out of here? And he said, because you've disobeyed me, you'll not be buried with your father. Isn't it amazing that one man could be under the spirit of a lie one moment and the spirit of truth another? Amen. Be careful about prophecies. And be careful about prophets. Amen. There are prophets. And the spirit of prophecy still operates in the church today. But you be careful with it. Amen. You discern it with the Word of God. And the Spirit of truth. You have the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will bear witness with the Spirit of truth. Yes, it will. Amen. You'll know. Unless you get influenced from another direction. But you start resisting truth and denying truth. And you will believe a lie. The Bible said that God would send us in these days, for those that love not the truth, he said he would send strong delusion that they would believe a lie and be damned. Amen. Hey, folks, this is serious business we're talking about here today. Amen. We've got to maintain this message. We can't give in now. Amen. We can't give up now. We can't just follow the crowd now. Amen. We know better. Amen. Those that don't know but are coming this way, God bless them. They're headed the right direction. But we that know and go that way, we will be condemned. Amen. Be careful. Amen. You see, God's word is sincere because what he said came to pass. And God's word is severe because judgment came on the king because he disobeyed. And judgment came on the prophet. When the man of God left the old prophet's house, started out on his donkey, he didn't get very far before a lion came, knocked him off of his donkey, killed him on the side of the road. Death came. God's word can be severe, but God's word is sincere, and God's word is secure and sure. You can believe it. It will come to pass. It may not come to pass the way you think it will or in the time frame that you wish, but it will come to pass. Amen. And when the old prophet heard that the man of God had died, he said, I want you to take me to him. And they went and they found him. Sure enough, there he was, dead in the road. The lion was still standing there. He hadn't eaten anything. He had him attack the donkey. Of all. Isn't that amazing? Lions kill eat what they kill. They don't just kill, they eat. They devour. But he didn't touch a thing. Because God was there protecting the body of that prophet. He loaded that man of God on his beast. He took him back. He said, I want you to bury this man in my own tomb. And he said, and whenever I die, I want you to bury me in there side by side. Amen. 300 years later, when Josiah was going around opening up sepulchers and taking out bones and burning them on the altar, he came to one place and there was an inscription. He said, who is this? And they said, that's a prophet of God from Judah. He said, leave him alone. Let him stay. Amen. And amazing, God will watch over your bones, folks. God will watch over your bones. Amen. I love what Joseph said to the people. He said, I don't mind living in Egypt. I don't mind dying in Egypt. He said, but when you leave, you take my bones with you. Yes, right. Amen. 400 years later, when it was time to go, they got the bones of Joseph and away they went. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, I don't want to be left here. You take me along when you go. Amen. Influence. It's very powerful. Amen. How Jeroboam influenced Israel to sin. And how a man of God could influence another God. Be very careful who you allow to have influence over you. Amen. There was a man by the name of Jim Jones. Anybody remember Jim Jones back in the 80s? Did you know that Jim Jones one time sat down with the general superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church and talked about him? He was baptized in Jesus' name. He had the Holy Ghost. And he sat down and discussed ministry with the superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church. But there was another man at the same time. Actually, he was just a boy. And he was going around the countryside doing miracles and signs and wonders. And he said, man, he was influenced by little David. And so instead of following a ministry in under the shadow of a man of God that was straight and secure and solid, he liked the spectacular. He liked the miracles and the show. And he got all excited about all of those things and the lights and the flashy suits and the money and all of that. And so a man that had opportunity to pursue a vital and a valid ministry instead followed a sham. And he died in infamy. In poison, what was it, 800 people died with him? What a travesty. All because of influence. Influence. Let me get this straight. The Bible said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. Don't you dare follow signs. That's what got Jim in trouble, and that's what will get you in trouble if you get to following signs. Did you know the Lord told Israel one time, He said, I will send signs among you. I will send false prophets among you, and they will do wonders. He said, I'm trying you. Just because people can do a miracle a minute or your money back does not mean they're valid and they're a person of God. Amen. Don't just look at the signs. You look at their lifestyle. Amen. You listen to the Holy Ghost. You let the Lord talk to you. Amen. So many have fallen because they were influenced unduly because of some sign, some wonder. Be careful. Be careful. There are prophets, but there are false prophets. Amen. And the Bible said, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not by their signs. Fruit is something that takes time to produce. It's not an overnight thing. It's not a flash in a pan. And it's undeniable. Amen. It's every time it works. If I see plums on a tree, I know that's a plum tree. If I see oranges, I know that's an orange tree. An apple tree will never bear oranges. It'll always bear apples. So you see, it's an undeniable thing. Fruit is. Signs are not. Signs may be from God or may not be from God. But fruit will always be true. So you judge people or weigh people by their fruit. I know we're not supposed to judge, but it's all right to be a fruit inspector. Amen. It's all right to be a fruit inspector. Amen. Just make sure the fruit's right. Amen. And so it's a thing that we've got to be very careful about, this thing called influence. Amen. Influence lives after we die. It doesn't stop. Just because a person passes on, their influence does not. The Bible says, Abel being dead yet speaketh. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And the scripture said, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The prayer that Jesus prayed in Gethsemane is still influential today. The prayers that Peter and Paul prayed for the church are still effective today. The prayers that my mother prayed are still effective today. Amen. Prayer doesn't die with an individual. Their influence doesn't die. It lives on. Amen. Influence is such a powerful thing. Every one of us today, every time you answer a telephone, you can thank Alexander Graham Bell. He's dead, but his influence lives on. Every time you flip a light switch and a light comes on, you can thank Thomas Edison. Every time you get on an airplane, you can thank Orville Wright and his brother Wilbur. Amen. Because everything they went on. They're dead long gone. But their influence still lives today. Their influence still lives today. It goes on, folks. It doesn't stop. It doesn't die. Just because we do, it goes ahead and it lives on. Amen. For the good or for the bad. A man told his friend, he said, I want you to preach my funeral. He says, but when you bury me, I want you to bury my influence with me. Someone wrote, where shall we bury our shame? Where in that desolate place hide the last wreck of a name? Broken and stained by disgrace, death may dissever the chain, but the dishonor of the stain, die as we may, we live on. Influence. Influence. He could bury his friend, but he couldn't bury his influence. There were two families. They were contemporaries. One was named Jukes. One was named Edwards. Statistics for this are from the Revolution, the Revolutionary War until 1925. And this is the statistics. Max Jukes lived in the state of New York. He did not believe in Christian training and married a girl of like character. From that union, there were 1,026 descendants. 300 of them died prematurely. 100 were sent to the penitentiary on an average of 13 years each. 190 were public prostitutes. There were 100 drunkards. The family cost the state of New York $1,200,000 in $1,929. They made no contribution to society. Influence. Jonathan Edwards lived in the same state. He believed in God and Christian training. He married a girl of like character. From this union, during that time, there were 729 descendants. Out of this family have come 300 preachers, 65 college professors, 13 university presidents, 60 authors of good books, 3 United States congressmen, outside of Aaron Burr, a grandson of Edwards who married a woman of questionable character. The family has not cost the state a single dollar. Influence. Amen. It's important, isn't it? Hallelujah. Hey, folks, we're still being influenced tonight, aren't we? Amen. When I read about Abraham, I think about faith. When I read about Moses, I think of meekness and leadership. Amen. When I think of Joseph, it speaks to me of purity. Amen. And when I think of Daniel, it speaks to me of courage. And Joshua talks about decisiveness. And Barnabas speaks to me of encouragement. Amen. And being an encourager. When I think of Paul, I think about revival. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm still being influenced. They're long gone. Amen. But you know what? Their influence lives because I read these letters that they wrote. And they encourage me and they challenge me. And they excite me and they feed me. Amen. So influence, it lives on. It stays with us. It never goes away. Praise God. The Bible said that we are to be salt and light. Aren't we? You're supposed to be salty. You're supposed to add some zest, some flavor to life. And salt is a preservative. Salt makes us thirsty. I wish everybody would make people so thirsty around us they couldn't wait. Amen, to get to the water of life. Hallelujah. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's a part of our job. So we need to be careful. Did you know that actually everybody here is a preacher? Everybody here is a preacher. Did you know that the clothes that you wear preach? Did you know that your speech, not only what you say, but the very speech itself, preaches? Did you know that that your actions certainly preach? Everything about you preaches. Everywhere that you go. There isn't a word the preacher can say, no matter how lovely or true. Nor is there a prayer his eager lips pray that can preach such a sermon as you. You vowed to serve Christ. Men know you did. They're watching the things that you do. There isn't one action of yours that is hid. Men are watching and studying you. You say you're no preacher, but you preach an impressive sermon each day. The acts of your life, the things that you teach, it isn't just the things that you say. So Christians, remember, you bear his name. Your lives are for others to view. You're living examples. Men praise or blame and measure all Christians by you. I love something that I read a while ago. There was a group of young people. They were sitting around their instructor and they were talking about methods of evangelism. And they were talking, some would say, well, you know, we go in and we show the Jesus film. Another one would say we'd go up and set a tent and we have revival. And another one would say, well, we go in and we build churches, we knock doors, we have a literature campaign, and all of the ideas about evangelism. Until finally, there was one lady there that had come from Africa. And she said, where I come from, when we have a tribe that doesn't know Jesus, we just send a Christian family there to live among them. A Christian family to live among them. That's influence. Amen. That's how we're supposed to live, folks. This is serious business. Amen. Every one of us here, we have influence. People's lives. Amen. We preach and we influence every day that we live. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? Influence.